Turn with me tonight to Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Wonderful, wonderful chapter tonight before us. And of course, you know, we look about teaching this, and you probably have the whole chapter memorized, don't you? I mean, if you've been in church most of your life, you've heard it not only from the pulpit, but in Sunday school, it's familiar to everyone. And the truth is that Daniel, tonight, we're going to talk about the promise of the lion's den. But the truth is, Daniel has been in a lion's den since he was carried away captive from Jerusalem there into Babylon since he was a teenager. Amen? He's in one of the worst places in all the world. You're talking about a lion's den, a place full of sin and wickedness. So tonight, remember, we left off with Belshazzar. He is dead. And in one night, his kingdom, Babylon, fell. And now King Darius is in rule, the Medes and the Persians, and a new king is before us. So let's begin in chapter 6 tonight, verse 1. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom." And look what he does now. "And over these," over the 120, "three governors, of whom Daniel was one." Now remember, Daniel's no longer a teenager. Daniel is now in his 80s. He's survived King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and now he has a brand new king and a brand new empire that he's standing there. So it says Daniel was one of them, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. In other words, he wouldn't lose a penny from taxes or monies or revenues or whatnot. So the head of gold, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, has fallen. Again, in one night it fell. So the arms of silver, the Medes and the Persian Empire, is now taking over. And remember that Daniel's dream of chapter 2, or Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel interpreted in chapter 2, as we move down the list, every empire becomes weaker than the one before it. So the Medes and the Persians, they're definitely weaker than the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the first Gentile world ruler, and no one was as powerful as he was. So there's a decrease in power here. So it says, "This Daniel," look what he did, "distinguished himself above the governors," the satraps, and it tells us why. "Because an excellent spirit," say that with me, "excellent spirit," oh, "was what? Was in him." And look what the result of that was going to be, a promotion. Watch now. "And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Listen, what an incredible man Daniel was. I pray, we should pray in 2010 for that to be said about every Christian, not only in the world, but let's bring it home, for every Christian at Calvary Chapel. Amen? In other words, that we have an excellent spirit. And you know why? Because the excellent, perfect Holy Spirit of God lives in us. Amen? And He is seeking to lead us and guide us. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be ye being filled with the Spirit." It's a commandment. It's not an option. A daily thing where we find the Lord in our worship and in our praise and in our prayer time. And that's what Daniel did. And just think now, Daniel was a Jew. Daniel was a captive. And here he is. The king likes him so much, wants to put him over the entire kingdom. You think that might make those 120 and those other governors a little upset? Absolutely. A lot of envy taking place there. But you know what this says to me? It says, you know, I hear it all the time, you know, I hate my workplace. And I understand that it can be very difficult working in a worldly place. You know, as many of you know, I came out of Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. And man, you're talking about a tough place to work for a Christian. It certainly is. It was interesting tonight as we were worshiping, you know, when the screen went blank up here. Do y'all remember that? Did I lose some of you just then? Let me go back. Remember the screen. It went blank. You got that? Everybody there? Okay? You okay with that? Well, see, in Vegas, you know, back in the 70s when Calvary Chapel was being started, and even after it started, even after there was 3,000 or 4,000 people there, when, you know, we never used a screen. I loved that. Not that there's anything wrong with doing it here. I'm not complaining. I'm not trying to make any changes. But I am saying that, you know, you had to know the words. And, you know, and they didn't have anything up there, no music stands. And, man, you know, and I love my praise band. I'm already getting in trouble. I sense it in my spirit. But what I am saying is that I don't even know why I brought that up. So, but, oh, I remember why I brought it up. It's because Daniel was in a tough place. Amen? And that's where I'm at right now. But listen to me now. What did Daniel do? You know, where do you work at? What job do you have? Where has God placed you? What company do you work for? Are you self-employed or whatever? Now listen to me. Daniel succeeded in the worst nation on earth, the most powerful nation on earth, and he did so without complaining or compromising. Amen. Now, if Daniel could do that, did he serve the same God that we're serving today? Amen. Then that means you can do it as well. Just a little encouragement. And then he says in verse 4, so the governors and satraps, well, look what they did. They sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault. Why? Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Now listen to me. Think about this for a minute. The world that Daniel lived in, every sexual sin known to man existed, just like it does today. Every vice, every vile habit, the sin of luxury. I mean, Daniel could have had anything he wanted. And yet you look at this and he entered this horrible environment when he was just a little kid, a teenager, away from his mother, away from his father, away from his homeland, away from his temple, away from everything he knew. And yet you look at this and you know what? Babylon, the world, couldn't corrupt him. I love this. I look at this and I go, oh Lord, this teen, what did he do? What did Daniel do from the time he entered there and to where he is right now? He's in his 80s. He developed something. He developed a faultless character. And boy, I'll tell you, that is something to think about. And you know, what did they find when they examined his life? It just told us, you know, they didn't find anything. You know why? He was faithful in his work. Faithful in his work. The king couldn't find anything wrong. The king wanted to put him over the entire, over everything. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, says, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessings. Man, you think of this and I go, oh, Daniel, man, they examined his life. He was faithful in his work, but he was also faultless in his character. Look at that. It says, nor was any error or fault found in him. Now listen, the Holy Spirit of God recorded these words that we are reading tonight. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if we were examined like that? Think about that for a moment. I mean, could we survive? Could we really survive an examination today? Now listen, it was by enemies. It wasn't by people who loved us. It was loved him. It was by those who hated him. Man, they peeked into every corner of his life. Says they couldn't find a thing. What do your enemies at work, if you have them? You know, my problem is I have enemies that are Christians. That's what breaks my heart. You know, the world loves me, but the Christians hate me. You figure that one out, amen? Only a few. But you know, you think about that and you go, golly, you know, what do your enemies say about your character? What do unbelievers say about you in the workplace, how you work? The things you laugh at? What do unbelievers say about the way you treat your husband or your wife or your children? What type of examination? You know what I mean? Think about that. You know, what about your internet habits and so forth? If we had an examination, Would we pass? Would we fail? Well, I'll tell you what, Daniel passed perfectly. He was faultless in character. And he said, and then these men said, well, they become discouraged. They couldn't find anything. So look what they said. We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What a powerful scripture. I tell you something, for that to be found against us, the only fault that the world can find in this church would be our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Oh, dear God, would we turn this world upside down? You know, in other words, they couldn't find anything. The world, our enemies, no one. They say all we can do is we have to find something that they do that because of their relationship with God. Now, I want you to notice something very important tonight. I want you to notice the area that they are going to attack in Daniel's life. And it has never changed. The same area that's being attacked in a few seconds here as I read in Daniel's life is the same area that's being attacked in your life. It was attacked in your life this morning. Okay? Let's find out what it is. It says, So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors and advisors, hey, we've consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king. In other words, King Darius, we love you. You need and you must be for the next 30 days the sole object of worship in all the world, okay? He says, if not, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Daniel hide his faith for 30 days? No, you've already read the story. You know the story. Can you hide your faith for 30 days? Or let me ask you another question. Would you hide your faith for 30 days? Would you? Well, what did they do here with the king? They appealed to his pride. That's the way the devil always does it. Oh, king, you know, no, we love you. You're a great king. You're the new king. You've conquered Babylon and all of this, or rather Cyrus and them did, but and he as well. But the thing is that you should be worshipped. You know, he liked that idea, didn't it? Didn't he? And that's what the devil does. And look at verse 8 now. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. In other words, once the king agreed with his administration and he signed it, then that edict became irrevocable. It could never, never be changed. So Daniel was faithful. Daniel's character was faultless. And the world, what did they do? They found Daniel's one flaw according to them. And what was it? It was he was fervent in prayer. And that's exactly what is being stolen from the church today. We would be ashamed, and I say this in tenderness and love, not in any beating anybody up. But I tell you, did you have a prayer time this morning? Did you really have a prayer time this morning? Doesn't matter how long it was. It's not about the length of the time we pray. It's the quality of our prayer. Amen? Did you have a meeting with the Lord? And you know what? Here we find out in verse 9 what happened. It says, therefore, King Darius, what did he do? He signed the written decree. Now listen, the world hasn't changed. This government is the same as the government today in thinking. The natural man never stops thinking the same way. They always think the same way. Listen, they passed a law. You cannot pray. You can't pray in school. You can't pray in the government. You can't pray in the workplace. You can't have a Bible in the workplace. You can't have crucifixes on the wall in Italy anymore in the school. All those things. You can't do it anymore. Why? They're passing laws. No, nothing has changed. Listen, they passed an irrevocable law. Now listen to me. They passed it for only one reason, and they passed it for only one man. They didn't care what the rest of Babylon was doing. They did it because they didn't like Daniel. They hated him. So they passed a law, an irrevocable law, because of one person. Nothing has changed. May I say something to you? Prayer is without a doubt the most neglected spiritual discipline in the church. And as a result of prayer being the most neglected spiritual discipline, that's why they have removed prayer. That's why. Because the church quit praying. And then when we do pray, most of our prayers today, would you say, now come, let's be honest tonight, kind of selfish? You know, I mean, oh Lord, I know, you know I need for Christmas. You know, Christmas is coming, oh Lord. And our prayers are mainly about us, aren't they? Oh Lord, give us this daily bread. We never get off that prayer right there. We stay right there forever, oh Lord. No. Prayer can go anywhere. Prayer can go around the world. You can touch nations and peoples, and you can pray in the Spirit, and you can pray in the middle of the night, and the Lord will tell you who to be praying for, who to be lifting up. Prayer. So we look at this, and it says, now look what happened. And now when Daniel knew, he understood what happened, he just figured it out. When Daniel knew that the writing or that decree was signed by the king, look what he did. He went home. He went to his house. Now watch. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, his home, the temple that now lay in ruins, he knelt down on his knees, that posture of prayer. Let me stop right there. Do you think God cares if you kneel or not? Kneeling is a good thing to do. We should kneel in prayer, but the posture of prayer it's what goes on in our heart, amen? See, we can be kneeling, and you know, we can be on our face before God, but the truth is our heart kneeling before God? See, that's what he really wants here. So he knelt down on his knees, and look what he did. Three times that day and prayed, gave thanks. He must have read 1 Thessalonians, right? Just a little humor there. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what does it say? Rejoice always. Next verse, pray without ceasing. Right? And it goes, for this is the will of God, remember in Christ Jesus, and everything give thanks and so forth. Yes, it's what he was doing. That hadn't even been written yet, and he was doing it. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now listen to me. How important was prayer to Daniel? First of all, they knew he was a man of prayer. I'll tell you how important it was. Daniel would rather be eaten alive by lions than to not pray. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel about that? We have a lion's den set up out here. And you know what I'm saying? I look at this and I go, oh Lord. He says, I'd rather be eaten by lions and miss one day of prayer. Prayer was so important to Daniel. He's now in his 80s. He came there in his teens. It says that he went into where? A special place. Daniel had a prayer room. Do you have a prayer room? Do you have a prayer closet? Do you have an altar? Do you have some place in your house where you meet with God every day? Where is it? Is it in your office? Is it in your bedroom? Is it in your living room? Is it on your porch? Where do you meet? Of course, it'd be chilly in the morning if you did that, but where do you meet the Lord at? When do you meet the Lord? He had an upper room and he opened up the windows. He didn't care who saw him. And he just started praying to the Lord. You know, the Bible says that he prayed three times a day. You know, it says in Psalm 57:17, it says, evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, and noon. You know what that speaks of? Persistent prayer. That's what Daniel was doing. Daniel knew something that I say all the time today. I didn't coin it, but I feel like I should have. I say it so often. And that is, prayer is the work. Amen? And it was, listen, prayer was a spiritual discipline to him all of his life. It was a habit. How do I know that? Look at the very end of that verse. It says, as was his custom since early days. Early days. He had been praying like that since he was a kid, three times a day, praying out to the Lord. You know, I'm going to ask you a question. What would happen? And I sat there and I started thinking about this. What would happen if every adult at Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night? What would happen? Now listen, I got a little crazy. Let me just give it to you this way. I figure we have, you know, a conservative estimate is about 500 adults at Calvary, okay? Now, if 500 adults prayed three times a day, that's 1,500 prayers a day. Now, if you factor in the kids and the teens, let's add another 150. So that's about 650, okay? Now, that would be 1,950 prayers a day. Do you know how many prayers that would be to God in 1 year? You ready? It would be 711,750 prayers per year. Do you remember, some of you, now a few of you will remember years ago at the old building, remember our prayer watch? Do y'all remember that? We bought those little watches for a dollar at the 7-Eleven store, and they were so cool. They had a little chime, and it went off every hour. Y'all remember? Anybody remember that?
Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. I just thought, man, maybe it was just me. And we set that. What was so cool was that we started doing that every hour. And we had a special list of what we were praying for. And what was cool, like in the service, okay? So let's say it's right now 7-something and 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden you'd hear chimes go off. The whole sanctuary would be just going ching, 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 ching. Forget it. You say, well, Bill, I'm too busy to pray. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Daniel was too busy to pray? Do you think Daniel was busy? He was over most of the kingdom. I would say he was a very busy man. You know, there's a saying on the wall I read one time. It said this. It says, if you are having a busy day, just skip your devotions. Signed, the devil. That's what he wants you to do. Now look what happened in verse 11. Daniel's in prayer. His window is open. He's been praying three times. Then these men assembled, or literally they rushed in. They watched the old man there praying. And it said, and they found Daniel praying and make supplication before his God. I would have given anything to have heard, or I wish it was recorded, what Daniel was praying for. Amen. But it wasn't. God just says he was praying and he was making supplication. Supplication here literally saying he's requesting grace for himself, strength for himself. So we have a hint of what he was praying for. And it says, they went before the king and they spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, well, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Now, he couldn't change this law. Remember, this is important because this is still about Daniel chapter 2, the dream there that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interpreted. See, Nebuchadnezzar had absolute total authority. He could have said, I'll change the law because I'm king. Now that it's arms of silver, the Medes and the Persians, they had a decrease in power. They didn't have that authority. So here, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was above the law, but Darius, he's now bound by the law. So we're going to see a decrease there in every kingdom. So they answered and they said to the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, they didn't even call him by his own official position. They said, he's just one of those slaves from Judah. He doesn't show regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, look what happened, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And look what the king did. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now listen, you know what? I started thinking about this. This is now the third king that Daniel has been under. And you know, they all three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, King Darius, they all have one thing in common. Every time he comes to them, they're always stressed out. Have you noticed that? I mean, these guys are just stressed. I mean, you know, Neb, remember he was so troubled that sleep left him, and Belshazzar's face turned pale and his knees started knocking when the handwriting on the wall came about. And now here's this king here, and he's just laboring. He doesn't know what to do. He's beside himself. And it says, and then these men approached the king. They were forcing his hand, in other words, and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and of the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will rescue you, Daniel. He will deliver you." You know, King Darius is fond of Daniel, isn't he? You know, you look at this and I mean, it's amazing what a Christian, the impact he can make on an unbeliever's life. And that's what Daniel did, and that's what you can do as well. And you know what this king, I mean, he's a king. I mean, he says to Daniel, "Daniel, I've done everything possible to save you, but I failed. I failed you, Daniel. I can't save you." And he says, "Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed." Man, not one word from Daniel. Not, you know, he's facing death, and he knows what he's facing. No way out. I mean, you know, the stone was brought. Listen, can you imagine being cast into the pit there with those lions? That's just going to chew you to pieces and eat you alive. It says, "And now when the king went to his palace," look what he did. "He spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him." You talk about a contrast. Man, here you have the king in his palace, and you have Daniel in the pit. Amen? And Daniel's, he is at peace. We know he's at peace. We know what God is doing in his life. And you know, it was Daniel's love of the Lord and his faith that brought him that peace. It says, "And then the king rose early in the morning and went to in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?'" Folks, listen to me. This is a true story. Daniel was a real prophet of God. King Darius was a real king. There was a real lion's den with real lions in it. This is a true story. We have a pagan king that was crying out to Daniel, lamenting, couldn't sleep. And he was saying, "Oh, Daniel, he says, you know, did God save you? Did God save you?" And look what Daniel said. "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" My prayer time is between my God and myself, he's saying. I haven't done anything wrong. The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen? He said, "And I've done no wrong." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And that makes us think it wasn't a den that you walked into. The den there probably, just so you'll, it's not going to help us anything, but it was probably a pit. They cast him down into the pit where the lions roam freely, and then they just covered it up. Total darkness, blacked out. That's the way it is whenever we have problems. We feel like we're in a pit and it's dark. We don't know our way around. We don't know what's happening. We feel like lions are trying to devour us. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Why? Here it is. Because he believed in his God. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe in your God tonight? Is the God of Daniel the same God that we serve today? Amen. God changes not. He's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He is the same forever. And the key word here is the reason that no injury was found upon him is because of what? He believed. I'll tell you something. There's some of you are going through some very difficult times right now. It could be just mentally. It could be physically. It could be financially. It could be in a numerous host of things that you're facing. I'm telling you something. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Listen to me. There has to come a time in your life, if you're going through it, that you don't cave in to your circumstance. No matter how big it is, no matter how overwhelming it is in your life, you simply keep believing no matter what. Amen? Listen, it's so important. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, he says, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall have. Now, because, well, Bill, it has to be with the will of God. Well, yeah, amen. Do you think it's the will of God to answer your prayer? Yes. Read 1 John 5:14-15. Of course, we have this confidence that he hears us, that we have the answer of the petitions that we've requested. If it's in the will of God. Well, listen, is it the will of God to save people? Is it the will of God to save your son or your daughter that's living in the world? Is it God's will? Amen. Yes. Well, maybe he's not one of the elect. Well, then you're in the wrong church. Amen? Amen? No, we believe God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. All, not some. See, we know what's God's will. You know, Jesus is the one who said, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He taught us to pray that. We didn't make that up. Jesus said, do that. Listen, the Bible says in Mark 16:17, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out demons. Heal the sick. They take up anything, poison, drink, it won't hurt them. Listen, do you believe tonight? You remember Philip, you know, when the Ethiopian eunuch there, he shared Jesus with him, and he said, well, there's some water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And what did Philip say? He said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may be baptized. And what did he say? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe? I mean, when we think about believing, listen, standing on the Word of God, believing no matter what, no matter what obstacle, there's something to be said about believing. You know, I know I've told you this story probably too many times, but I remember in 30 years ago plus, I can't remember how long it's been. My wife and I had a church in our home, and we had no food in that house. I mean, none. And I didn't know it. And Becky came to me, and I'll never forget. I can still see it because I was young and handsome, and I was still see it. There was a doorway that passed from the living room to the dining room, and we've been kind of repairing this old home that we were living in, and we stood right there, and she told me, I'll never forget it. She said, we have no food. And I said, none? And she said, and not only that, we have no money. I said, oh, and tonight was church. And I said, well, then we must pray. And we bowed our head. I can see it now right between that doorway, that right in the middle of it. And I said, Lord, we have no food and we have no money. But we have you. We have you. And we believe. As the Lord is my witness to you, 10 minutes after I prayed that prayer, there came a knock on our door. And a person from down the street, it was a welcoming thing because we'd only been there for a couple of months, knocked on the door and said, you know, I know this may sound crazy to you. I don't mean to be weird, but, you know, I just feel like here's a bag of groceries to welcome you to the community. I said, oh, God bless you and thank you so much. There was a person that came in that night and on the bus because we were teaching, and they came in, and he got there and he walked. And he said, Bill, he said, listen to me. I have $10. That's all I have. But God told me on the bus that you must give that $10 to Bill and Becky. Well, we had a bag full of groceries and $10. Amen? Amen. Listen, something happens when we stand on the Word of God. Amen? When we really believe. You know, you want to believe the people that work for Love Never Fails International. Listen, we believe daily because that is a faith-based organization. And you know what? We were sitting there and I was going, okay, Lord. You know, I said, Lord, this is corporation up there in Maine or wherever it is. I forget right now, but it's up east. And I said, you know, they wrote us a letter. You know, Lord, they said that they were going to be sending the money, you know. And I said, they didn't send it. I said, Lord, I said, I've been thanking the Lord for that because it's such a huge, $25,000. Amen. $25,000. Amen. Yeah. And so, they love it. They love LNFI, you know, and it wasn't here. So, man, I've been praying and praying because it comes in November and I'm looking at the bank account, you know, and I'm going, oh, hallelujah. And man, I walk into the office and Leslie and them tell me, say, hey, Bill, guess what? I said, what? I said, the check for $25,000 came in. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but God supplies our needs. And you know why God did that? Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity on the poor lendeth unto God, and he shall pay back. Amen? Amen. The more pity we have on the poor, the more God is paying us back. But you know what? We have to believe. I'm going to ask you a question. Who delivered Daniel? Amen. You know what? There was lions down there. Amen. But they didn't know. Listen, there was the angel was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He was in that pit. He was down there with him. He delivered him. His name is Jesus. You know what? The promise of the lion's den is this. Christian, if you're in the will of God, doing the will of God, because we can get out of the will of God and get in trouble. But if you're doing the will of God, do you know something? Do you know that you're immortal until God says it's enough? I mean, God wasn't through with Daniel. If he had been through with Daniel, then the lions would have probably said, hey, this is some good Christian meat. Amen. But no, you know, that's not what happened. So we look at this. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you're having a lion attack. Think about it. Oh, I'm serious. You know, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. What kind of lion are you facing? Is it sickness? Is it unemployment? Is it family issues? Is it hurt? Is it slander? Is it just, what is it? I'm telling you, believe God. Stand. That's the promise of the lion's den, is that I'm going to believe God. I am shut into my circumstance. They've rolled a stone over me. It's dark in here. I can't find my way out. I don't know what to do. Daniel said, yeah, King, he didn't hurt me. No, nothing. You know what? Those lions probably just curled up next to him and said, let's go to sleep. We'll keep you warm. You know, God probably just let him lick his face. And, you know, those lions, oh, I can't believe I can't chew this man to pieces. Daniel said, I'm not hurt. I believed in God. And he came. And he rescued me. He delivered me. You see, where was the true lion's den? Where's the true lion's den in your life right now? You know where it really is? I'll tell you where it's at. It's in the upper room. That's where the real lion's den is, folks. That's where it is for me. That's where it is for you. That's why they attacked Daniel. because they knew his prayer. That's like the devil wants. He doesn't want you to pray. The battle was not in the lion's den. The battle was before he got to the lion's den. Amen. And he went to the upper room and he prayed. That's where the battle is fought and that's where the battle is won. And that's why if you're not getting on your knees, would you join me in the early morning and go to the Lord with me in prayer? I'm there every morning. You join with me. We're a family of God. Go and start praying. Get down on your knees and start praying to the Lord. It says, and the king gave the command and he brought those men who had accused Daniel and they cast them into the den of lions. Them and, oh, their children, their wives. And the lions overpowered them, broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's a sad story, isn't it? But that's what happened. You know what? No one, nobody in this world is going to get away with anything. The psalmist said, he made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. That's exactly what happened to these people. Amen. They dug a ditch for Daniel and they fell into it themselves. What does God say? God says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. I tell you, that's a true word. It's a positive word and it can be negative. But I'll tell you something. God's not mocked. And God took care of this problem. And then King Darius, look what he did. He wrote, now this is his own writing. This is from the king. He wrote to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth. Look what he said. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Why? For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Listen to me. What would happen tonight? What would happen tomorrow night if we tuned into the White House at 7 p.m. for a special announcement from the White House and Obama made this decree? What a glorious, would that be something? If they said, listen, God is real. His kingdom is steadfast. His kingdom is forever. He is the living God. And we in America, we need to tremble before him. We need to fall on our face and be fearful before him. Do you think there'd be a change? Probably not. You know why? Because you can't make people tremble before God. You can't make people fear God until you're born again. Then, as it says in Isaiah, it says God delights in those who what? Tremble at his word. That's the man he looks after, the woman he looks, those who tremble at his word. But it'd still be glorious to have a decree like that go through our land. Amen. He says in verse 27, he, meaning Jesus here, of course, the angel was the pre-incarnate Son of God. So he delivers, he rescues, he works signs, wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion's den. Now listen, God delivered him for what reason? This is for his own glory, his own purpose. This decree that's going out. Listen, in the beginning of chapter 6, we start with a brand new king, a brand new government. And now we end with what? A brand new religion. Isn't that awesome? He said, it's over. This is the one we're going to look to and worship. You know, I think personally, and I could be wrong, but I wonder if we're going to, like Nebuchadnezzar, I wonder if we're going to meet King Darius in heaven. Amen? I'm sure, I hope that we do. And so this Daniel, he prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Why did he prosper? What was it as we finish up tonight? It goes all the way back to chapter 1, doesn't it? Verse 8, where it says that, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself. See, when you purpose something in your heart, you do it ahead of time. Amen? So tonight, why don't you purpose, if you're not doing this, but then why not right now, purpose in your heart to have a prayer time in the morning? Not only that, why don't you purpose in your heart to pray three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Better than that, why don't you purpose in your heart to do that in 2010, every day in 2010? You know what? That would, if you want a New Year's resolution, I just gave it to you. Write it down right now and say, here's my resolution. I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray at lunch. I'm going to pray at dinner. And you know what? If the church would do that, if the corporate church would do that, we'd have revival. Amen? A praying church is what changes things. And change is coming in 2010. Bill, do you know what it is? I have no idea. I just know that that's the word. That's the word in my heart. Do you have a New Year's message yet? I don't have anything. I don't even have a message for Sunday. Well, you're going to in 2 Thessalonians. You don't want me to go in 2 Thessalonians, do you? And talk about the judgment of God this close to Christmas, do you? No, I'm going to deliver something happy, you know, like, you know, eternal damnation. Prayer. Prayer. Let's become a praying church. A praying church, a believing church. Why not pray for those? Get a list together and start praying for those that are hurting, those that are out sick. Pray, really pray. Believe and ask God for a miracle and then see if it's happening. Not just, you know, just some mechanical prayer, but a true prayer. A true prayer where you're really interceding. And then you're expecting your prayer to be not only heard, because it is, because God loves you, but because also because God is a miracle worker. Some of you are ill in your body. I challenge you to start praying and say, Lord, touch me. Do a miracle in my body. Don't ever give up on God. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever, ever give up on God. Ever. Don't let that stone be rolled over you like Daniel in that pit. And it's dark and you don't know the way out. Prayer floods heaven with light. Amen. And it'll flood your soul the same. Father, we thank you tonight. That prayer, we can come to you and our prayers, Lord, they don't have to be elegant. They don't have to be, we don't have to talk in King James. Lord, we just have to come humbly before your throne. And it says, if we will humble ourselves, you will exalt us. Lord, tonight, there are those that are here and they're in the lion's den. And that stone, the old devil has put the stone over the pit and they think that they're going to be there forever. There's no way out. There's no way out of the darkness. And they can hear the lion, roaring lion like a devil, stalking them, seeking whom he may devour. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that that stone is rolled away. And the light of Christ is now shining in their pit, in their circumstance, in every area of their life. I thank you tonight, Lord, for this one word that needs to enter so many hearts. And that is the word hope. Because hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But oh, a good word. It makes it glad. It heals like a medicine. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are indeed the God of hope. You're the author of hope, and you also distribute that hope. I thank you even now that you just pour living hope into their hearts and displace the darkness, displace the hopelessness, Father. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you are doing miracles in our midst. Not because we're worthy, not because we deserve it, but because you are a holy God, a righteous Father that loves your children. You are the Lord God that healeth thee. And I thank you, Lord, even now for bones and ligaments and vertebrae and, Father, all those things, any hearts and all kinds of things, Lord, I don't know. I'm not a prophet and I'm not a healer, but I'm praying for those that are ill. Because you commanded us to pray one for another that you might be healed. Would you touch those that need healing, Lord? Would you take that pain, that consistent, constant pain, that acute pain from people's bodies? Because, Lord, they can depress you. It affects the whole body. And Lord, touch them. Raise them up. Let a sense of peace come upon them. Just touch their bodies. And Lord, for this Christmas season, Lord, it's not about any gifts. It's about Jesus. It's one time the whole world can at least be in nearly complete unity, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to remember that. And Lord, thank you now for your people and bless them mightily. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church says, amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? The Lord bless you. Just keep you and prosper you and